Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. We'll be looking at some things in that chapter. Obviously, we're celebrating the birth of Christ and the Christmas season, and so I want to begin there. You're not surprised, are you? But I like to begin in December, at least, to begin celebrating the birth of Christ and all the joys that go with that. It was Christmas. Of course, you heard me say before, if you come to our house in July, you may still hear Christmas music, because I think there's something about the joy and the celebration of Christmas music that's good any time of the year, as well as this time of the year. So we're glad you're here, glad you're able to get here safely, and just be safe when you go home. And when you go out in the parking lot, be careful, because it's still... They plowed as best they could, but there's still stuff on there, so you have to be careful. Okay, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. How many of you can quote this without looking? Well, at least quote a lot of it. But let me read it and then think about it. I'm thinking about prepare to celebrate Christ's birth. Christmas is a celebration, but I want to be sure that celebration is a celebration of Jesus. And then all the other things have their proper perspective. My conviction is if I really celebrate Jesus, all the other trimmings will have greater meaning because I realize who I'm celebrating. Verse 18 in Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man... and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child has been conceived in her is of Holy Spirit. If you'll bear a son, you'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's think about some things in that. If I'm to celebrate the birth of Christ, preparing for that, I don't look at some things that took place in preparing Joseph for Christmas. Because all the things that took place in this verse, in this section of Scripture, preceded the birth of Jesus. And so God was getting ready for the birth of Jesus. So I think some things in this will help us as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus. First one is, be in a position to hear God. Be in a position to hear God. What I mean is, I want to be in a place that in my walk with God, I can be aware of who He is. I can hear Him. Now, I'm not talking about hearing with these ears, although I've had individuals who said they've heard verbally. I've not. But I want to guarantee you that by the grace of God, you can hear God in here. And you can know He's there. And you can know He's talking to you. And I want to hear what He's saying. He brings insights and understanding to that. So I want to be in a position that when He speaks, I can pick up on it. I guess it's sort of like putting up your antenna. You know, you're tuned in. You're deciding to say, God, help me to be aware of that, alert to that. Two things out of this section I want to think about that will prepare me. One is be righteous. It said about Joseph that in verse 19, they said he was a righteous man. He was one who was right with God. He was the one whose life had been surrendered to God. Now, when you think about being righteous, does it ever bother you to think about yourself as being righteous? Do you ever have difficulty applying the word righteous to you to say, I'm a righteous man or woman? You shouldn't. If you're a child of God. Because I think our thoughts are, if I say I'm righteous, that means I'm perfect. That means somehow I'm a super Christian. No, that's not what he's saying. I put on your in your notes this scripture passage. It says, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Who's He talking about? Who's the Him? He made Him who knew no sin. What's that person's name? Jesus Christ. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin, to become our sin on the cross. And we've talked about that. All of our sin came on Jesus on the cross. And I'm amazed when I think about that. It's hard for me to fathom all the evil and wrong of the world, as well as the little sins we might have, from Adam to whenever the world ends, all of that to come together in one place, in one person. That Jesus was willing to do that. And so, He became our sin. He took it into Himself so that, what? We might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, it's not that I go around and say I'm righteous because of who I am and how good a person I am and all those things. It's rather because the one who is righteous, Jesus Christ, who we celebrate. And so, if I'm to hear Him, it said about Joseph, he was righteous. It means I need to have Jesus in my life to know that I belong to Jesus Christ. How righteous is Jesus? On a scale of 1 to 100%, how righteous is Jesus? 101, okay. He's righteous. Now, when He comes to live within you as a believer, how righteous is He then? He's still 100. So the righteous one, who is 100% righteous, lives inside you. So He inside you declares you to be 100% righteous because He lives in you. Now sometimes that's hard to get a hold of. It's not mine, it's His. And so because I have committed my life to Christ, I can say I'm righteous. Not perfect in living that out, but I'm righteous. So, it said about Joseph that he was righteous. So he was in a position to hear when God spoke to him. When you think about Joseph, we read all these things, and how many, some of us have read this scripture for 30, 40, 50 years. Can you visualize what it's like for Joseph the first time he heard it? He had never read this before. He had never heard this before. And for him to hear that, to me, is amazing. He was so in tune with God that he could hear him. The second thing that I want to suggest is, be in a position to hear God, is to care about people. Be caring about others. Because the Bible says when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he was going to put her away quietly. You're well aware, I assume, that in his day, if a woman was caught to be pregnant without being married, one of the possibilities was she could be stoned to death by her culture. That was, we don't think about it anymore, but in her day. So Joseph didn't want to disgrace her. He didn't want to harm her. What does that tell you about Joseph? He loved her. He cared about her. But he couldn't except the fact that she was pregnant and wasn't his baby. So he said, I'm going to quietly just end all this. But he cared about her. In fact, when you think about it, he doesn't say it specifically, but in the scriptures, it talks about Mary was what? Betrothed. That means committed to Joseph to be married, usually in a year's time. Now let me ask you, if she had been willing to be committed to Joseph, did she love him? Did he love her? There was a caring, loving relationship, I believe. Now I know they can be betrothed and all that, but my conviction is he loved her. And so he said, I care about her. Now what am I suggesting? If I am to hear God, the second thing I said was be caring about others. On your notes, I shared a scripture out of Luke 10. And you know the whole story about the man who got beat up and left for dead and all those things. And two people go by. But let me read this one. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Will you notice what it says about this man who saw the Samaritan? What's the word describing his reaction, his thought, when he saw this man laying there, beat up, looked like maybe he was dead, probably no clothes on? What does he do? What's the word in this? He had compassion. He cared. He couldn't walk by him. May God help us as we meet people that we care about them. That we care about what's happening in their life, about the struggles they're going through. They may not be laying on the ground with beat up and probably, as I said, almost his clothes off. Would you suppose anybody beat up in spirit around here today? You suppose there's anybody that you meet who's struggling to make ends meet out of this life or to find meaning? You know as well as I do that all those who up north of here are struggling, whose houses are all burned, and are struggling to make sense of all of that. But I've discovered that it's not only those who are up there, but I've discovered people telling me they have family or friends who are up there. So it's not just the people who were up there in the fire, but family members and friends who know them. So let's say, God help me. I want to be like Joseph. I want to be caring enough to say, I want to do what I can to help someone else. Try to listen to their heartbeat. Listen to their cry. Listen to their what's going on. And so I believe those are two things out of that that would be, put me in a position to hear God. I want to be right with God because of Jesus, and then living righteously out of that. And secondly, care about other people. The second area is be listening for God to speak. Be listening for God to speak. Verse 20 said that when Joseph thought about all this, when he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child has been conceived in her of the Holy Spirit. In the midst of all that was going on, he heard God. I don't know how often angels speak. I think angels are still around. I think God may sometimes speak through angels. But does God ever speak to us? Now, does he ever communicate to your spirit? But if I'm not listening, will I pay attention? Can I be so busy with all the Christmas activities that I'm not listening for God to speak to me? I want to say, God, help me to, as I said earlier, be tuned in to what you're saying and listen for God to speak. Let me read the scripture passage. It's on your notes. It says, now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving all alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, I want you to notice what the scripture says about Martha. She was distracted with all her preparations. Do you have a chance that in all your preparations between now and Christmas, did you get distracted from the one that we really are serving? And so I say, God, help me to remember it's you that I'm looking for. I want to hear you. I want to be like Mary. I want to sit at your feet. I want to hear you. Now, sometimes you're going to say, well, I don't hear God very much. How else does God speak a lot of times? Do you suppose that as you go back and reread these scriptures, maybe even the ones you know familiar that are very familiar to you, that God will talk to you out of his word? If you're listening, can you hear him again today, this week, next week? I want to hear him. I read these passages of Scripture. I've been doing them lots of years. My prayer is that I'll always remember God said something to say to me out of these Scriptures. And so when I talk about hearing God speak, every child of God can hear God speak at least through His Word. If you don't hear it in some way in your own mind or heart, God's there to speak. And so they're listening. They're listening. My prayer is that I'll be listening to God to speak to me this season of the year. Now I realize He also sometimes just speaks through His Holy Spirit, right? He just brings to our attention truths, understanding, guides us. But Joseph heard God. Joseph knew it was God. And Joseph believed that, which I'll talk more about in a minute. They listened for God to speak. Now, one thing that caught my attention for the first time in the Scripture passage, and actually out of a devotional book I was reading, when Joseph, this passage in Matthew, when Joseph heard that Mary was pregnant and wasn't his child, how do you think he felt about her? What kind of thoughts do you think went through his mind? What kind of relationship was he going to have with Mary? The Scripture says he was going to break it off. But when he heard God, when he heard God tell him that this baby is conceived by the Holy Spirit, when he heard God talking to him, do you suppose his relationship with Mary changed? His attitude toward Mary became more loving and accepting? Why? Because he heard God tell him the truth. Do you suppose when you and I listen to God through His Word and our own spirit, that He'll do some things that will change our relationships with each other, with other people? Because when we hear God and we listen to God, it changes not only our relationships this way, it changes our relationships this way too. And He changes us. And so I say, God, I want to hear You. I want to listen to You speak because I want to be changed by You. I want to understand what You're saying. I don't know. It didn't tell me in this Scripture, but I've often thought, what kind of conversation went off after this between Joseph and Mary? And it doesn't tell me in Scripture, okay? This is speculation. Do you think they talked about what they had heard? It doesn't say it in the Bible, but I'm just convinced. I don't see how you could hear God speak. Mary heard Him and Joseph heard Him and then not talk about it with each other, what they had heard from God. What do you think that did for them when he told about what he heard, she told about what he heard, and they shared together how God had spoken to them? Do you suppose that improved their relationship any? Folks, let us talk about what we've heard. Let's share what we've heard God say. It improves our relationships here and up this way too. And so I want to just think about that. On the other side of your notes, another aspect that if we're to prepare for Christ's birth, we want to be in the place to hear Him. We want to care about others and be righteous. We want to be listening for Him to speak. But I also suggest I want to believe what God says. I want to believe what God says. And I guess I would ask the question, how do you know that you believe what God said? How do you know that you believe what God said? I suggest you know you believe it when you do it. I can tell you I believe all kinds of stuff, but if I'm not doing it, I really don't believe it. Now, why do I say that about Joseph? Because in verse 24 and 25, after Joseph heard all of this, he wakes up and he takes 2 weeks to decide to do something about it. Oh, it didn't say that. What does he do? He took Mary as his wife, kept her a virgin until Jesus was born. You know he believed it because he took her as his wife. Loved her and cared for her without intimate relationships. And guys, you know as well as I do, that's not easy.
until Jesus was born. What I'm suggesting is when I hear God say something in this book, or when I'm praying and when I'm talking and God reveals the truth to me, I want to do it now. Not wait 2 weeks or months or whatever. Because in reality, if I wait, what am I doing? I'm disobeying. Aren't I? When you were young and your mom told you to go clean up your room, and you said, oh, I'll get to it, and you waited for a day or two or whatever, what does mom say? I meant for you to do it now. Right? I want you to go take care of it now. Well, I believe when God speaks to us, my love for Him ought to be such that when I hear what He says, I'm going to do it. That's my attitude, my heart. Now, do you suppose that when I have that attitude, I might hear God more often? If I have the heart that says, God, You reveal truth to me, I'm going to apply it. I'm going to do it by Your grace in my life. I believe that God will do that. The Scripture talks about if we have a lot, He's going to give us more. I think it means when we're listening more, He's willing to give us more. He did talk about don't cast your pearls before swine. I think God does the same thing. I don't think He gives us truth if we're not going to believe it. He gives it to us so we can obey it. And Joseph, the Bible says, from his sleep took her as it kept her a virgin until Jesus was born. And as I already mentioned, what do you think they talked about between the time that he took her as his wife and the time Jesus was born? You think they had a few conversations? Absolutely. And they celebrate, I think they celebrate before the birth of Jesus himself. Didn't say that there. But if I'm to be prepared, if I'm to prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, I'm saying, God, I will believe You. I will do what You tell me to do. The next area that I'm thinking about is be sure you have received Jesus. Be sure you have received Jesus. In verse 21, the angel said to Joseph, she will bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus would be the Savior of the world who would forgive and redeem us from our sins. How many of us needed forgiveness of our sins? How many of us in this room needed a Savior to forgive us of our sins? All of us. All of us. There had to be a Savior to forgive us of our sins. And so, if I'm to hear God, if I'm to celebrate the birth of Jesus, I need to have received Him into my own heart and life. Ask Him to take over, to take control of my life. To surrender to Him. I heard Charles Stanley this morning talking about surrender. We don't like to surrender. But we surrender to Jesus and say, Lord, I receive You as my Savior. The Scripture on your note says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Have you received Him? Can you say this morning, I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, and I know that. What does He say? If we receive Jesus, we believe in His name and trust Him. We're born not of the blood nor the will of man, but born of what? Born of God. But of God. Have you been born of God? If you've been born of God, folks, you can celebrate. You can celebrate. I'm a child of the King. He saved me. This Jesus who we celebrate at this season of the year has saved me. And I come to say, Lord, I receive You too. And I want to trust You to continue to guide my life and to bless me. And so I want to be sure I've received Jesus. And I'm glad to know that many years ago now, I received Christ as Savior. I remember that day, that night. Many of you do too. Some of it, you have learned, it's been on a progression perhaps, but I like to know that. So I'm preparing. The next area is be willing to participate in God's eternal plan. Be willing to participate in God's eternal plan. Verse 22 and 23 says, "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. He's going to fulfill the spoken through the prophets. Joseph was not only being the Savior, being the human father for the Savior, but he was fulfilling God's plan, because God had said it was to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, and Joseph was participating in the eternal plan of God to bring his son into the world to die for our sins and to be raised again. Now let me ask you, are you a part of God's eternal plan? Do you have a place in what God's doing in a bigger picture? You do. Think about that. Joseph got to be in on the eternal plan of God, the Savior coming into the world, and the eternal plans of God, but Joseph was a part of that, a vital part of that. You, each one of us, if you're a child of God, He is putting you into this ministry that He's talking about, and what His plan is, God's eternal plan. I mentioned this, I think, on Sunday night a couple of weeks ago. I see it as God is sort of like putting together a jigsaw puzzle. Some of you like to do it. Some of you hate them. My daughters and my wife loves jigsaw puzzles. I don't like them. It takes me too long to put them together, especially those 1,000 or 1,500 piece ones. But when you put that together, there's all kinds of little pieces. You're just putting it together. You've got the board and all that stuff. But every piece is important, isn't it? If they put one together and a piece is missing, they search all around the house and under the table to try to find that one piece because it's not complete. What I'm saying is, each one of you are a piece of this eternal puzzle of God that He's fitting together, fitting together, fitting together, and it will not be complete until the last piece is put into the plan. And if you're part of that plan, celebrate the fact that you are a part of the eternal plan of God. You are more than you are today. You are more than this moment. You are more than this day. You are more than this earth. Because of Jesus. And Joseph got to be in on that. He got to participate in God's eternal. Aren't we still reading about Joseph? Do you suppose we'll see Joseph in heaven? Well, I think we'll see him in heaven. And Mary too. This eternal picture of God He's putting together. And so if I'm to celebrate what the Lord's doing in His birth, I want to say, thank you, God. Help me to be involved as fully as you want me to be involved in your plan to serve you, to share your word, to be involved in ministry however I can, whether it's teaching Sunday school or whether it's prayer or whether it's sharing with our friends about Jesus or living godly. I want to fit into this eternal plan of God. What a joy. The last thing on your notes is rejoice that God is with me. Rejoice that God is with me. It said in verse 23, a quote from the Old Testament, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. God with us. Does that mean anything to you? God, the eternal Creator, God revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. God who died on the cross and rose again. Says, I want to be with you. Jesus gave His life in order to be God with us. Thank you, Lord. You've heard me say this a number of times. I probably will a number of other times. It's amazing to me when I know who I am and when I know the ways that I fail. And sometimes things come into my life that really ought not to be there. And yet God says, I want to be with you. I want to live in you. What an amazing grace of the living God that says, I will be with you. And we, as we well know, the good news is, how long is He going to be with you? How long is He going to be with you? Forever. When you became a believer in Jesus Christ and He came to live within you, from that point on, He is going to be with you forever. Somebody said, you can't celebrate on that, your wood's wet. Think about it. This Jesus that we are talking about says, I am Emmanuel, to be God with you. Two passages I've listed on your notes. Do you not know that you're a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Pretty simple, but all so powerful. The other passage says, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What a statement. God said of us, you're the temple of the living God. And God says, I will what? I will dwell in them, and I will walk among them, and they'll be my people. Is that the thing you? I'm God's. He claims me. He claims you. These are my people. Thank you, Lord. Because of this birth of Jesus Christ and what He did for us, we are now His people and His people forever. So I want to say to you this morning, do you know Jesus? Can you say, I'm righteous because I've been born again, because I've met Jesus? Have I received Him as my Savior? If not, today is the best day possible. You haven't done it in the past, and it's better than waiting for the future. It's to do it today. To say, Lord, here I am. I receive you. I commit my life to you. I realize I've sinned against you and I need your forgiveness. Come and live in my life. That'll make your Christmas the best Christmas you've ever had before. Jesus in your life. Many of us have already taken that step and we've been walking with Jesus. But I pray you'll think about these things. Meditate on it. God, you speaking? I'm listening. And when I hear, I'm going to do what you say. Because I've committed my life to Jesus, and I rejoice that you put me into your eternal plan. Help me to fit in like you want me to. And Lord, I'm available. I'm going to celebrate the birth of Jesus in the midst of all the Christmas stuff. I want to be His. Let's bow together.